Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philemon. Philemon, which is Paul's last letter, and it comes right before the book of Hebrews. Some of you are probably thinking, what happened to Haggai, the series we started last week? But I realized this week it had been several years since I've done a Father's Day sermon, and I wanted to do a Father's Day sermon today on Father's Day. So today we'll be reading the book of Philemon. It's only one chapter, of course, 25 verses, and I'll be reading the whole book, Philemon verses 1 through 25. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Thus the reading of God's word this morning from the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon is about relationships and what it means to honor authority in those relationships. In the letter, the apostle Paul is writing as the superior, as the apostle in a superior relationship to church member Philemon. And what is at issue in this letter is how does the apostle Paul exercise the authority, the God-given authority he has over church member Philemon in the relationship that he has with him. The letter to Philemon teaches us some important principles concerning relationships and how to honor authority in those relationships. Not only in the church, between superiors and inferiors, like the apostle Paul and church member Philemon, or elders in the church and church members. But the letter also speaks of authority in general, in particular authority in relationships in the home. And that is why, on Father's Day, we will focus specifically this morning on a father's authority and how the father or parent is to use that authority honorably, and how a child, even an adult child, can properly honor the authority of a father, both now and the rest of your life. Let us begin with the authority issue at stake in this letter. Philemon is a wealthy church member, a wealthy man. He has slaves. He has a house so large, we're told in verse 2, that the church can meet in his home. Onesimus is his slave, a runaway slave. The subject of Paul's letter to Philemon is that Onesimus, the runaway slave, is being sent back to his owner, Philemon, from the Apostle Paul. Keep in mind that runaway slaves in the ancient Roman world, for a slave to run away, was a horrendous crime. Aiding a slave, a runaway slave, was a crime. But the punishment for a runaway slave who was being returned to his master was so severe, it could include depriving the slave of food, a severe beating, or perhaps as an example to other slaves not to run away, even death. As a slave owner under Roman law, Philemon has every right to punish Onesimus severely for his crime. But for the Apostle Paul, who is sending Onesimus back because for Onesimus it's the right thing to do, things are different now. In verses 15 and 16, we read that Onesimus has become a believer. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you, Paul writes, for a little while, was that you might have him back for good. He ran away. Why did he run away? One of Paul's reasons, as he writes to Philemon, is that he came to me, and the reason he was separated for a while, so that he would come to know Christ. And now, he tells him in verse 16, no longer is he a slave, but he's better than a slave, as a dear brother. When he comes back to you, Paul writes, he's not just a runaway slave. He's coming back to you as a brother in Christ. He is very dear to me, Paul writes in verse 16, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So this runaway slave has become now a Christian, a brother in the Lord. And when Paul uses the wording brother in the Lord, keep in mind what he's saying from verse 1. In his introduction in verse 1, Paul describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy as a brother. Paul is now putting Onesimus, runaway slave Onesimus, at the same level in the Lord as Timothy. A brother in the Lord is now coming back to you, Philemon. Now, Philemon is described in verse 1 as a very dear friend and a fellow worker of Paul. Not only a friend who loves Paul, but a fellow worker in the gospel. He is described, as we know, a wealthy man, but a man who has used his wealth for the benefit of the church, including the fact, verse 2, that the church meets in his home. But not only that, as Paul has observed Philemon's life, and as he has heard about Philemon's faithfulness to the church, we're told in verse 4 how often the apostle prays for Philemon. And when he prays, he thanks God, we're told, for Philemon. He thanks God. Why? Verse 5, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints. When Paul prays for Philemon, it's not just a general prayer, thank you for Philemon. He is praying and thanking God about the faith at work in Philemon. His faith in Jesus Christ that he demonstrates in his life. And the great love that Philemon has for the fellow saints in his church. Paul prays, verse 6, that Philemon would continue to be active in sharing his faith, so that he would gain a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. And then look at verse 7. Your love for the saints, he's telling him, has given me great joy and encouragement. Here's Paul, thousands of miles away in a prison. And when he hears of Philemon and Philemon's love for the church, he is given great joy and encouragement in his heart because of what he hears that Philemon has been doing. And not only is Paul encouraged and filled with joy, but the last part of verse 7 tells us that Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the saints. Here is a faithful church member. A church member who, no doubt from this letter, came to the Lord through the ministry of Paul. And now the fruit in this church member's life, demonstrating his love for the saints, opening his home to the church, refreshing the hearts of those Christians who have suffered so much in this ancient Roman culture. He has refreshed their hearts using his wealth and influence to bless the saints in the church of Christ. And so for Paul, the apostle, and Philemon, church member, you would think this is, how do they say today, a no-brainer. Here's this runaway slave, and Philemon, who has been so faithful in the church, all Paul the apostle has to do is tell him what to do, and Philemon will do it. Paul acknowledges this in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be so bold and order you to do what you ought to do, he doesn't. What Paul is saying here in verse 8 is that he understands his position as apostle and what that means and how Philemon looks to him as he understands the authority of Christ that is over him in Paul. Paul the apostle, who the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to directly from heaven on the Damascus Road. Paul, who was commissioned by Jesus himself from heaven on that Damascus Road as he was blinded. Paul, who was commissioned by Christ to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. This Paul, this apostle who wrote this letter and others by the Spirit of God that have become the very scriptures themselves. This Paul now is speaking to Philemon. And as Paul understands authority and Philemon understands it, he has every right as the apostle to Christ to say to Philemon, Philemon, take him back. Take Onesimus back. He is a believer now. He has come to Christ. He's useful to me. He can be even more useful to you now in the church. Don't punish this runaway slave. I know he has sinned. I know he's done wrong. I know he could even be deserving of death for running away from you. But just forgive it all and take him back. Paul has every right to say that as he understands the authority structure that Christ has laid down. But he doesn't. I could be so bold in Christ, verse 8, to do that and order you what you ought to do, but I don't. I appeal to you on the basis of love. What does he mean by that? He appeals to him on the basis of love. Well, one aspect of the love that Paul is appealing to is his understanding that Onesimus now is a believer in Christ. Onesimus has come to faith in Christ through the ministry of Paul. Onesimus, we're told in verse 10, has become like a son of Paul as Paul has been in chains. Formerly, verse 11, he was useless, but now he has become useful to both of us because we are all one in Christ. He's useful to me while I'm in prison, and now as a believer, Philemon, he is useful to you as a believer as well. And then he goes on in the next few verses to describe exactly what that means. He is now a brother in the Lord. And Philemon, you who have showed such great love to the saints, opening your home to them, refreshing their hearts through your love as you express the love of Christ through your generosity and all the things that you have done. Now look at Onesimus as a brother in the Lord and show him the same love. In other words, Paul is appealing to Onesimus' relationship with Christ and the relationship with Christ that Philemon now has. So Paul doesn't order him. He appeals to his relationship with Christ and that he is now a believer and that perhaps he should not punish him because of that, even though Paul does not say it directly. But you say to yourself, and Philemon would say to himself, but he sinned. He ran away from me. As a slave runs away from a slave owner, this is a serious crime. A serious crime not only to me as slave owner, but under Roman law. And what are my other slaves going to think now if I just forgive this slave? Okay, come to the Lord and you're forgiven and you don't have to be a slave anymore and you can be useful to the church. He has sinned. Something has to be done about the sins of this slave who ran away. I can't just take him back as a brother and forgive. Is that what authority means, Paul? We just love and forgive and we don't deal with the sins of those who have sinned against us? So Paul answers that in verse 17 and 18. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Do you see what the apostle is saying? The apostle in this letter indicates that he is very hopeful that he will eventually return to Philemon and make a visit to Philemon's home. And now this slave who has sinned, this slave who deserves food deprivation or a severe beating or perhaps even death for his crime, Paul says, charge his sins to me. If I come back to you, the punishment that is deserved for Onesimus, put it on me. Take my food away. Beat me. Put me to death. I will take his crime upon myself. Welcome him, verse 17, as you would welcome me. When he comes back to you, he is me, and I am now him. His sins are on me. Where did Paul learn this? He learned it from his Savior. His Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took Paul's sins upon himself and who went to the cross. Our Savior, who paid for the sins of Paul, who paid for the sins of Philemon, and now Paul is saying has paid for the sins of Onesimus. They are all now brothers in Christ. They are all sinners. They all have professed and believed that Jesus Christ paid for their sins on the cross, that they are deserving of death before a holy God, but those sins are now taken care of and washed away. And they are brothers here on earth and in heaven. And now Paul the apostle, the superior, is appealing to Philemon on the basis of love. And not only is it a basis in which he is now a brother in Christ, so receive him back, but this superior is willing to sacrifice, to give of himself for the sake of another. Just as his Savior, who came down from heaven as very God and very man, humbled himself and gave his life for Paul, for Philemon, for Onesimus. And that is Paul's appeal. You see, he's not giving orders here. He's not stepping beyond his authority, which he has every right to do as an apostle, and he could do. But he is appealing to Philemon on the basis of love, on the basis of Philemon's understanding of the church of Christ, of the saints of Christ, of the forgiveness of Christ that has been given to him and to Paul and Onesimus, and Paul's willingness to give of himself or another. And so instead of giving an order and hoping Philemon will follow it, Paul declares in verse 20, "I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord." And what would that be? Refresh my heart in Christ. Previously, in verse 7, the apostle has stated that Philemon has refreshed the hearts of the saints. And now, as an apostle, as a superior, Paul is asking that his heart would be refreshed. That if Philemon does the right thing, his heart would be refreshed. Do you see the difference here? If Paul gives the order, "Philemon, you take Onesimus back. You take him back. Don't punish him. He is now a brother in the Lord. I declare it, and I order you not to punish him." Paul's heart isn't refreshed. Philemon is only doing what he's ordered and what he's told to do. But when he makes his appeal on the basis of love, and he sees how this saint that he has witnessed to responds to Paul's appeal before the Lord, and he has demonstrated before this saint not his authority as an apostle and how Philemon, this small church member, is to follow his orders, but what Philemon sees is the self-sacrificing love of Christ being demonstrated by the superior. And Philemon sees his understanding of what the Savior has done for Paul, for Philemon, for Onesimus, and that they now belong to the Lord. And considering all these things, when Philemon, the slave owner, understands these things and does not punish his runaway slave and sees him as a brother in Christ, Paul's heart is refreshed. When we think of the relationship of authority between a father or a parent and their children, we see in this letter how authority is to be honored. For Paul to give orders is not to honor the authority of Christ, but for Paul to appeal on the basis of love, he is honoring the authority of Christ, because it's not about Paul. It is about what Christ is doing in the life of those under his authority. When a child is born to a father, obviously that young child needs some ordering around. The child is growing, the child is learning, and he needs direction from the Word of God. And as a parent, you oftentimes need to be specific. And sometimes the answer is, because Dad said so. But as that child grows, just as Philemon has been growing under the authority of Paul and under Christ, as that child grows in his life, the orders become less and less. Because the father, by honoring God's authority, is not just giving orders or exercising their bold authority over those under them, but the father is demonstrating a self-serving, sacrificing love. That the father's focus is not that the child would obey him and do everything he says and continue like that the rest of their life. But the child who is growing up in that home under the father's authority would gradually become closer and closer in his relationship with the Lord. That the father over time is giving less and less bold orders, but is appealing to the child as it grows, as it becomes a teenager, as it becomes an adult, on the basis of love. That the child, through the faithful authority, the faithful love of Christ being demonstrated by the father and the parent in that child's life, begins to understand that. And the parent becomes confident, verse 21, of the child's obedience. But you see, there is also a message here for children and what they can do to honor their father or parent or those in authority over them. You see, it tells us there in verse 20, Paul's appeal is that Philemon would refresh his heart in Christ. You want to refresh the heart of your father, of your parent? They shouldn't be having to give you orders the rest of your life. When the child is making decisions before Christ, responding to what Christ has done for them, responding to their understanding of what it means to be a brother in the Lord, when that parent sees the child as he is making decisions for his life and knows that the child is looking to God and seeking God's understanding, that parent's heart is refreshed. When the child becomes an adult outside of the authority of the parents in the home anymore, and the child is making decisions in their faithfulness to serve Christ, not that parents are still involved and still having to tell them what to do, but they are making those decisions faithfully before God, that parent's heart is refreshed in Christ. In Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 6, he speaks to fathers who have exasperated their children. Sometimes parents do not honor authority, the authority of God, because the orders continue throughout the life of the child, even after the child has left the home. But Paul's instruction to Philemon teaches us a proper balance and honoring of authority. That the authority that Christ has given them is honored as the child learns and grows and seeks to do what is right before God. And the parent isn't to sit around and be the lord of the home and have everybody serve him and do everything that they want. But the parent is honored and honoring Christ when the teaching that has gone on throughout the child's life begins to show fruit. And though the child may make poor decisions at times, sometimes they have to learn the hard way, but when they appeal on the basis of love as they grow older, when they understand the self-sacrificing love of Christ demonstrated in their parents, their hearts are refreshed. And what does Paul say again in verse 21? Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. They have confidence that you as a child will do the right thing because they have seen that the authority now is no longer father, son, or daughter in the home, but it has gradually moved to the child living under the authority of Christ. And when the child does that and seeks to honor the authority of Christ in their lives, the parent's heart is refreshed. That's what it means to honor the authority of a father, of a parent in your life. May we as parents honor Christ as we understand the proper balance, the proper leading to Him. May we as children honor our parents on Father's Day and always as we seek to live our life for the Savior, refreshing their hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this letter to Philemon, which speaks about a specific situation in Paul's life, Philemon's life, yet, Lord, applies to authority in our lives. Help us, Father, as fathers, as parents, to honor the authority that you've given us. Help us to be loving and caring and serving, and to demonstrate the authority of Christ faithfully in the lives of our children. Help us, O God, to do this in such a way that even as they grow and we teach them specific things at a younger age, you may guide us and help us not to order too much, but to allow them at times to make mistakes so that they may learn about this love, this understanding of serving Christ. Father, as children, guide us in understanding what it means to be under the authorities you have put in our lives. Help us, O God, to respect the authority of our parents and those over us, that we may before you make right and just decisions to please you, not them. Help us, O God, to make that our focus. Help us as your children to live out this grace, refreshing not only the hearts of our parents, but you as well. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.